We are continuing our study of why Christians experience stress, anxiety, and depression, and why they do not need to do so on this Wednesday evening, the 14th of August. Let's prepare ourselves, first of all, with a word of prayer that the Holy Spirit can open our eyes and ears to a passage that I've never seen it used in this sense, but I'll just use the word rarely, is rarely, if ever, used in a study of stress, anxiety, depression. I've not seen it in any of the books. I went to the bookstore just in the index, and some of them, if they're Christian, will have a scriptural index. None of them dealt with this, and I think, though, that it'll help us in our seeing what's going on in a lot of other texts if we can grasp what is set before us. So let's begin with the word of prayer. The purpose of the prayer is to test ourselves to see if we're trusting the Spirit to open our eyes and our ears to the things that He would have us to see and hear and understand how important what we're looking at is to keeping your mind set on those things that are above. Let's prepare. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Second of two sons died before the parents. I'm saying for the tapers. And it's your... It's an L's cousin. And his name? Gary. Jerry. So let's be in prayer for Jerry's family and for what God is doing. For as far as Jerry is concerned, he's home with the Lord. Yeah. And he's... and better off than we are, so we don't need to pray for Jerry, but for his family and those that God is dealing with around him. So let's also be in prayer. People, let's approach the throne of grace together in prayer. Paul clearly states, Heavenly Father, that the battle is faith. Oh God, sometime when people hurt, you know, and we understand how difficult it is to believe who you are in Christ. It's difficult. Almost seems to be impossible to just rest in trusting you. Pray, Heavenly Father, that as we study the development of sad, and that your Spirit will open our eyes and our ears, and especially those eyes and ears of people who will get these tapes, who hurt, who experience depression, who experience stress, that are Christians. And that you will guide us, Heavenly Father, in understanding the difficulty of walking by faith, that we might help them and encourage them to walk in faith, to trust you when there just doesn't seem to be any reason for trusting you. It's when it becomes so difficult, Father, the people who are hurting and the circumstances don't change. It's just so difficult. Why should I trust you? I pray, Father, you'll give me the words and the power of your Spirit to explain to those who do want to see, that your Spirit can open their eyes and ears when they hear these tapes. Pray these things, Heavenly Father, in Christ's name. Amen. Now, we studied how. We took four lessons on how to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. We dealt with the analogy of AM and FM. And so, right up here at the front. Good. There you go. Since I don't sing, I don't spit little spitballs. Remember Kenny Davis? They just spit those little. What did he call them? Little spitballs. Anyway, entertainers. I don't do that. So, we studied how in our study on how to do this. We related it for fun, and a nice way to just a fun way to communicate this as understanding your soul as a radio that has both AM and FM, because inside of your body, if we take one little container box, it's a radio, it has both FM and AM in it. Your physical body has within it the flesh nature, and it has the spiritual new creation that you are in Jesus Christ in one body. And just like in the AM-FM, AM cannot come through FM, FM cannot come through AM. And so what we want to do is to keep our mindset on FM, and that we related as faith mindset, whereas AM was the Adamic mindset, thinking in the terms of Adam and our flesh nature. Then last week, though, we hit something very important, because that, those four lessons make a very nice lesson, and you go, yeah, that's good. But last week we noted that it is very difficult, though, to do that for a lot of people, especially those that this series is for, those who do experience stress and depression, anxiety in their life, that it is difficult to stay consistently on FM. How difficult it is to live who you are in Christ. I've already told you many times that one of the most difficult things to do is to believe who you are in Christ, because of the network that Satan has to counter that, but also how difficult it is to live who you are in Christ. And no matter how much you may want to, the people, I want to live who I am in Christ, but I can't stay on that FM but maybe a minute. I can't stay on there for too long because of the circumstance. You just can't keep your mind stayed on Him. The Isaiah passage we noted. Can't stay on FM. It just, almost involuntarily, it seems, I go to AM. And there I am in my flesh nature, and the stress and the depression increase, and my unworthiness, my inadequacies, and all these things are confirmed in the flesh. So we saw also how wonderful it is that God can actually give us inner peace without stress and anxiety and depression, without changing our circumstances. How wonderful that is that He can do it. He doesn't have to change your husband. He doesn't have to change your wife. He doesn't have to change your past, what happened when you were a child. He doesn't have to change your finances. He doesn't have to change your circumstances of your life to give you a life free of stress, anxiety, and depression. But also we noted something interesting about that. That as wonderful as that is, it is also part of the difficulty in walking by faith, staying on FM, staying in who you are in Christ, because things do not change. And you look around and your husband is the same and your wife is the same, your finances, your marriage, or the absence of it, or the decline and the breaking of it, so many disappointments, your work, your finances, all the things that can happen in a society and in our society to an individual, those things haven't changed. And so while, yes, it is nice that God can do it, but it also is very difficult when He doesn't do that for us to stay there, to stay with our mindset on Him. And then we noted, though, what are you trusting God to do? Are you trusting God to change everything around you, just to make it humorous? Are you trusting God to change every driver on the freeway so that everybody drives the way you want them to, so you won't be stressed out by the time you get to the work? Are you trusting God to change your husband overnight, your wife, your children, your parents? Trusting God to change your past, change your finances? Because if you are, that's not the faith that's going to bring about the absence of stress in your life, the absence of sad in your life. We noted what we're doing is we're trusting God. Pure and simply, we're trusting God to give us this inner peace, regardless of what's going on around us. We noted the principle you cannot consistently live differently than you consistently think of yourself. That's a very important principle that I'll be repeating throughout and we will continue to do this in our study. Therefore, the more you consistently think and believe who you are in Christ, you will slowly begin to live it. And dear people, I do mean slowly. So it's not something that's going to happen overnight. You're not going to be a great Christian overnight. One of the worst things that I know of, things like that, the evil of lordship salvation. All of a sudden, everything is going to change. It doesn't happen that way. That's very discouraging to people. I must not really be saved because this isn't happening. No, you can have such heart hurt in your soul and in your life. It's going to take a while to transform you and give you the hope, what Paul calls in Galatians, the hope of righteousness, not way up there in eternity, but in my experiential life. So The more you will consistently think who you are in Christ. And I'm just going to be so honest with you. If you're hurting, like some people really hurt in their homes and in their broken dreams and in things going on in their life as children, as teenagers, as adults, it may only be a minute today. And then tomorrow it'll be a minute at two different times. And then next week it'll be 2 minutes. And then slowly you begin to more and more consistently think who you are in Jesus Christ. And there it will build on the things that will help you do that, like who you associate with, the local church you go to. Because a lot of local churches increase stress and depression by judging, setting up unbelievable standards, the whole judgment that they present and the whole performance that their church is built on. So there are a lot of things we need to look at. So the FM, the faith mindset, thinking who you are in Christ. Mindset not on the things below on the earth, but who you are in Christ. Now Colossians 3, 1-3, which is where we ended last week. I just want to look at it with you, Jill. So open your text to Colossians 3, 1-3. It's where we started, and it's where we'll often just come back and kind of stay here a little bit and be here a little while. Okay, so if you have, or not if, but since, this is a reality. Since you have been raised up with Christ, so that's who you, the new you. You were buried, your old flesh, your nature died. It's crucified, it's dead. And since you have been raised up in Christ, a new being, keep seeking the things above. Now, I want to write this on the board for a very important reason. Keep on seeking the things above. Now, note what it says. Where Jesus Christ is, comma, seated at the right hand of God. Okay, so keep on seeking the things above. That's where Christ is. And what's he doing? He's seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2. Set your mind on things above. I want to write that on. Set your mind. Set your mind on things above. Set your mind on things above. Keep seeking things above. Set your mind on things above. And then it says, not, just to give you the contrast, not on the things below. Not on the things here on earth. For you have died, that's your flesh nature, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, what does all that mean? People, I want to be honest in this study. I don't want to be a theological teacher taking this and moving on. This study is for people who experience stress and depression and anxiety, just even a little bit to a great deal. Certain things happen in our life. I want to be honest with our study. What in the world does that mean? What does it mean to keep seeking the things above? What does it mean to set your mind on things above? What does all of that mean? What does it mean? And how, in the name of anything that is sacred, am I supposed to do that? What does it mean? How do we do it? Now, I want us to think about this and deal with this not theologically. I've already dealt with all these words, the Greek words. We dealt with we've declined the verbs, we've parsed the nouns. We've dealt with this. We did it on New Year's Eve. I don't want to deal with this theologically. I don't want to deal with it philosophically, metaphysically. I want to deal with this experientially where you and I live. As Christians, who hurt. As Christians who experience and are experiencing stress, anxiety, depression, distress, hurt, your marriage, it's not love, it's not romantic, it's not what you wanted. Work, you've worked hard, you got the education, People are being more and more laid off. Finances aren't working. You had everything ready for when you were old, and now that's lost. Physically, it isn't working out. You don't like the way you look. You're very distressed about that. I'm talking about things that happen in our daily life. What in the world does that mean? And I'd like to be stronger than that. I think you can tell. What does that mean? When I'm hurting with stress and depression, keep on seeking the things above and set your mind on the things above. Living on earth, living here on earth in this body, day in and day out, with all of its disappointments, with all of the sins that we will commit and that others will commit, all the failures, which may involve sin and may not, with all the disappointments, all the sins, all the failures, all the hurts, the sicknesses, the illnesses, physical things, mental things, family things, all these things that just keep happening in our lives, what in the world does it mean to keep seeking the things above? To set your mind on things above, not on earth. Is that even possible? You're living in a house that you don't want to live in. Maybe a house that you do want to live in, but you're not happy. The marriage is terrible, and things just aren't going well. Is it possible to grasp and to understand what this means? I think it is. I'm going to use an example that I have used in other classes at this church, but not in this study. And here's where it's a good place to begin to do this. Is this possible to do what's on the board and what Colossians 3 talks about? Is it possible? Is it even possible to live on this earth and to keep your mind constantly set on things above and not on the things on the earth? And I think it is, and I'll give you an example that I think you'll be able to relate to. I think even you ladies will be able to relate to. I think everyone will be able to relate to an example I would like to give you, because I think it is possible to understand what this means. When I was in the United States Army, I spent almost 2 years in Germany. Now, I want to talk about this. I was in Germany physically. I was in Germany, the country. I for quite a length of this time, and then I moved, but quite a length of this time in a little town called Hanau. And so I'm in Germany, I'm in Hanau, and that's where I am. But you know what? I didn't live in Germany. My mindset wasn't in Germany. My thoughts, keep on seeking things, set your mind. I didn't seek the things of Germany. I didn't have the mindset. Set your mind. I want to help you if you're hurt. And what I want you to see is, by example, I was in Germany, but I kept my mind seeking on things in America instead of, let's just replace above for America, not that America's above, but to show you what my example. I kept my mind set on things related to America. But I lived in Germany. I physically was alive in Germany. And that's where I had a different mindset, though. I had a lousy bed. Doggone bed was hardly as wide as I am. I never could figure out how big people could sleep in the army cot that we got, these little beds, little mattress. And I didn't even get to have my leopard cover over it. I had a drab army green. I didn't get to have a pillow for my back and a pillow to hug and a pillow between my legs. Got one lousy pillow, and I do mean lousy. But it never bothered me that I didn't have my nice leopard sheets and my nice leopard comforter over it, and didn't have it. My closet. I didn't have a big walk-in closet. I had a little closet that I have, if I remember correctly, was about 24 inches in wide. That's all I had. And you're not going to get any more. That was it. And I was on a general staff. But that was what we were allowed. Didn't bother me. That I had to sleep on that bed did not bother me. That I could not have any special sheets and could not bother me. That I had one lousy closet did not bother me. Didn't have a car. Here I am in Germany, free, single, all this stuff, no car. Never bothered me. Never bothered me. Clothing. Didn't get to wear my white. Didn't get to wear, you know, the flashy ties and all. No. Same green clothes. 6 to 5 days a week and sometimes more than that. That was my wardrobe primarily. Just a few other civilian clothes. Never bothered me. Never bothered me. German girl wouldn't go out with me. Didn't bother me. Bothered me to get home and they don't go out with me. But over there, these things didn't disturb. They weren't what my mindset was. Pay. Wasn't making a lot of money. It's embarrassing how the slave labor they got out of me. Very little pay for the amount of work they got. Because in real principle, especially had been on a general staff, I was there 24 hours a day. I had to let them know, even when I went on a pass or a leave, exactly where I was in case the general needed us for a very measly amount of money. It was pitiful. Never bothered me. I never thought, you know, I ought to be making about $75,000 a year here, considering everything I do, amount of hours they get out of me. Never entered my mind. Never disturbed me. Never distressed me. I never got distressed about my bedding, my clothes, my closet, my money. None of these types of things. Personal life. These things never bothered me. Why, people? Why didn't it bother me? Because I was thinking in the realm of America. I'm a United States soldier. That's who I am. Who won the German sporting events? Didn't stress me out. Who won German politics? Didn't stress me out. I had a purpose. Okay. That's almost 2 years of my life. I wanted to give you that because I wanted to take something that you can conceivably understand. I understand that. With what you and I are talking about in this mind, keeping your thing, your keep on seeking the things above, set your mind on things above, not on the earth, not on things below. It's the same principle. Do not seek your mind, Herman, when you're in Germany, in the United States Army, do not set your mind as far as civilian life is concerned, as far as Germany is concerned. Because that's not where you are. You keep your mindset on what you're there for. You're a United States soldier. Period. That's your mindset. That's got to be our mindset as Christians. It's got to be our mindset as Christians. I don't have this, I don't have that, but we don't get stressed out about it. So I think if you can see this, it is possible. Now, I want to go from that to a very important study. I'd like you to turn now, both here and those little tapes, get out your Bible, and look with me at the Gospel of John, chapter 8, please. I'd like you to look at the Gospel of John, chapter 8. I want to finish this tonight. I could take a long time, and if you want a little broader study of this section, you can get our tapes on the Gospel of John, chapter 8. But I want to orient this of our study of stress, anxiety, and depression. This is a section of Scripture that I doubt is ever used by anybody in dealing with stress and depression. But to me, when we get through, I hope what we have in Colossians, keep on seeking the things above where Jesus Christ is. Let that be your mindset. And let's see if this will help us do that. Now, the section we're going to look at, just a few verses in the Gospel of John, it's a discourse on the departure of Jesus Christ. It's a discourse on Jesus Christ leaving, departing. And these verses I'm not going to cover here. As I said, you can listen to the Gospel of John series. So there's so much in context related to the Jews, so much here. We're not going to do that. I want us to look at this just tonight. I want us to look at this passage as it relates to stress, anxiety, and depression. As it works with setting your mind on things above, seek those things that are earth. I want to talk about the Jesus Christ for a moment as our example. He was here for 33 years. And all through the passages that deal with this, probably over and over sets the course, I'm not here for me. I'm not here for me. And that's going to have to be our deal. And while we are not experiencing stress, anxiety, and depression, it's a mindset. If your time on earth in the flesh is what it's all about, then people, we have a right to being depressed. We have a right to being distressed. I'm not getting my fair share of even a happy marriage. I'm not getting my fair share of sex. I'm not getting my fair share of money. I'm not getting my fair share of fun. I'm sick. I'm poor. Nobody likes me. On and on and on. But if we're not here, if this isn't what you and I are about, if our life, like my 2 years in Germany, if our whole life as the life of Christ is not about here, then things are going to change. Our mindset is going to change. And as our mindset changes, so does the principle. You choose to be depressed. It doesn't just happen. So what we're going to do is set our mind on a mindset that it will not be depressed. This passage is written in the way of life in dealing with why Christians experience stress and depression in their soul. But I think as we go through this, you'll see why I want to spend tonight here. It will help us to understand what it means to set your mind on things above what? Where Jesus Christ is. Where He is. Seated at the right hand of God. Of Colossians 3, where He is. This is where you and I want to live. And how do we do that? How do I live in Germany, setting my mind where, which is America, the United States Army, and what's going on at home? Where am I from? I'm from America. Where am I? I am in Germany. Now, I'm just using my personal experience, because any soldier, any person you know that has served, and they served in other countries, and some people, I don't even have to go to the military, there's some people who go, I know people who go to Arabia to work with oil companies, and they'll be gone for 2 or 3 years. But their life isn't what's going on right there in that time frame. That's not where they're from. So I'm not from Germany. I'm from America. People, you're not from the earth. That's what's important here. You are from above. Let that get into your mind. That's got to be as real to you, that you are not from this earth. You are from above, as it was a reality to me. I'm from America. I am not from Germany. This is not where I'm going to find my identity and my self-worth. It's going to have to be related to who I am in Christ. Okay. Verse 21 of Gospel of John 8. So let's go through this now. Have just a few minutes left tonight, half our time, just to get to this point. Verse 21. He said, therefore, this is Jesus Christ speaking to the religious crowd, He said, therefore, to them, I go away. That's constantly on His mind. He says this over and over and over. And I just want to tell you, that's got to be on our mind. I'm going away. In Germany, and I'm sure it's other places, but I'm just having fun with mine. You could ask almost any soldier that wasn't a full-time, we call them lifers, how long you got? And some of them could tell you, I've got 18 months, 3 weeks, 48 hours, and 63 seconds. You know, 63, whatever it might be. So not 63, it couldn't be that. 53 minutes and 48 seconds, and then I'm out of here. I'm going away. See, that's why you and I got to live here. This is not what we are about. Look what Christ said. He says here, again I say to you, I go away. I'm going back to heaven. This has got to be our mindset. This has got to be where our thought of our self-worth. This is the self-worth of Christ. He's going back home. He's going to heaven. That's why it's so important that you realize, where are you from? You're from above. All of that is not theology, people. That's experiential reality. And things in your life aren't going the way you want them to. Nothing more depressing than being in the military sometimes. You've got a nice weekend planned. It's gone in a second. All the general has to say is, we're going to do this. Ah, yes, sir. That's it. Got a hot date with a German chick. We're going to do this tonight. Yeah. Yes, sir. Can I make a call? That's the way you live. People, that's a mindset. If I had a different mindset, what would I do? Argue with the general, fall apart, get mad, be distressed, depressed, all these kind of things. No, a mindset is, this is what I'm here for. I'm for you. I'm here for the United States Army. This is what Christ is saying here, people. I'm from above. I'm here on assignment from above. And that's going to change the whole orientation of your stress and depression in life. Now, I want you to remember, don't make Jesus some supernatural being walking around 2 inches above the ground. People, he loved to eat. He loved to drink. He loved to be with his friends. I can show you that in the Scriptures. Christ enjoyed his life. But that's not why he was here. He knew why he was here. And there's the area of ending stress and depression. So he says, and you shall seek me. Well, this deals with the whole context. When you reject the truth, you spend your life seeking other things, which is what Christians do and why they experience stress, anxiety, and depression. They haven't caught on to what they're really here for. The Jews have rejected him as the Messiah. They weren't even seeking him then, but you shall seek me. And this is why the Jews will accept the Antichrist and the false Christ so often throughout history, as well as in the tribulational period. And die in your sins. Dying in your sins here is a rejection of him as Messiah or the Savior. How do I know that's what that means? Very quickly. It's not part of our study because this deals with the unbeliever. But if you look at chapter 16, verse 9, it'll tell you that it was because of no faith in Christ. Now, where I am going, you cannot come. Now, where is he going? This is very important to us in our lives here on earth, to know where Jesus Christ went. For while we cannot go with him now, we can be there spiritually because you are a believer. You can live your life in reference to where he is. So it's very important to know where he is. He is not on earth. Your Savior is not on earth. If you're going to live your life in reference to him, forget living it in reference to the earth. It can happen. You can live a life set on mind on things above if you do it. If you care that much about where Christ is, he is from above. He has gone to heaven. That's where he is. He is going. Where I'm going, you cannot come. Where is he? Where? Set your things on above, Colossians 3. Where Jesus Christ is. That's where you and I want to set our mind thought. Verse 22. Therefore the Jews are saying to him, surely he will not kill himself, will he? Well, this deals with the whole context. He will not die of his own hands. He will die of theirs. Yet in another way, he will die of his own hands because he will deliver himself over to them. Since he says, where I am going, you cannot come. They skip right over that they're going to die on their sins if we were studying the passage. They cannot come. They do not have the ability. Why do they not have the ability? Because they do not have the spiritual life in them, people. You do. You are born from above. So you do. When they see the word cannot come, that word cannot come is, if we dealt with the Greek tonight, well, we're not, means ability. They do not even have the ability. They cannot do it. It's impossible. So you and I, though, we're born from above. Therefore, that's what you and I can do. Now, verses 23 and 24 is a beautiful salvation passage. Man's problem, God's solution. And this is so important in reference to man's eternal salvation. But people, by pattern, it is vital to living who you are in Christ in Satan's world below. Okay, verse 23. And he was saying to them, you are from below, I am from above. You depressed about your circumstances in life? What if you weren't from above where Christ is from above? You'd be where they are. You're from below. What you and I have to remember is we're not from below. Very important passage to those Christians who suffer, experience stress, anxiety, and depression. His statement right here. He says, in our passage, you are from below. It's a powerful statement. Reference to our flesh birth. reference to the norms and standards. This is where we would live. If you're from here, this is where you live in accordance to. Going back to my analogy, if I'm from Germany, I'm going to live in reference to Germany. I'm not from Germany. I'm from America. He says, you are from below. And then note what he says, I am from above. Please let this start working with you with the Colossians. Keep seeking the things above. That's where he is. I'm from above. People, that's where you're from. Jesus Christ is from above, heaven, as distinct from being below. You, continuing now, you are of this world. What does that mean? That means you're going to live by the goals, the desires of the world. You're going to gain your self-worth from the world. You're going to live according to the laws of the world, things that make you happy in the world, things that make you sad in the world. You are of the world means that's where you're going to derive your self-esteem. I'm a great doctor. I'm a great lawyer. I'm a great scientist or engineer or computer. Or I'm great at this. I'm very good. I have a wonderful family. Wherever we find our self-worth in this concept, it's from below. It's from the earth. If you're of the world, and know what he says, I am not of this world. You know, like something going on in your life, your marriage, your physical situation, finances. What I'd like you to do is just think for a few moments and say to yourself, I'm not of this world. I am not of this world. My finances are not what's important. People in Germany get a little old paycheck, hardly worth going to all the trouble to get the thing. No depression about it. I'm not of this. I'm not of Germany. It's not about it. It did not depress me. It did not upset me. I'm over 25 years old. Should be making lots of money. It didn't bother me. Why didn't it bother me? Because I'm not from Germany. It's not what I'm there for. It's not what it's about. But if money's important, if money is part of your esteem and your self-worth, if your marriage, if people, if your performance, if you're living in the world, all of these things become what's important to you. I am not of this world. Therefore, he does not receive his self-worth. Let me phrase it this way. I am not of Germany. I do not get my self-worth from Germany. Christ is not of this world. He does not get his self-worth from the world, from the achievements in the world, or his sorrows of things related to this world. His whole life is from above. Before we move on, if you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, you are not of this world. You are from above. You did not come from here on earth. Therefore, things of this earth should not distress you. If you keep your mind set on where you're from, things of the earth will not distress you, will not bring you depression and all of these things that happen to you even in your childhood. This verse is so powerful in answering where we are from. Please turn back a few pages to the Gospel of John 3. Let me show you something I think is important for your mind thinking through. How can I not hurt? Let me explain to you my marriage. Let me explain to you my life. Let me explain to you my parents as a child, as a teenager. Because they have these things. Suicidal rate of teenagers in this country is alarming. The stress and depression that they experience. Why? Because they live in reference to this earth for their self-worth. That's not where you and I are from. Look at the Gospel of John chapter 3, and I would like you to look at verse 3 with me. Gospel of John 3, verse 3. Jesus Christ is talking with Nicodemus. And note what he says in verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again. Please forget again. That's not in the original text. The Greek is anothen, from above. From above. Now, verse 7. Look at verse 7. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born from above. From above, where he is from. If you've accepted Christ in your life somewhere, you are not from this earth. You are from above. What is important about verse chapter 3, verses 3 and 7 of the Gospel of John? Jesus Christ doesn't tell us really how to do it. It's not told how to do it, but it's there in the chapter for the eye that will see. Now, principle. What great news this is. If you're a believer in Christ and you suffer stress, anxiety, and depression, and distress, and hurt for any reason, this is great news. You can set your mind on the things of where you're from. You can set your mind on the things of where you're from. Because you're from above. Let me have a little fun with you. I tell you who can relate to this very simply, very easily. True Texans. Here you are way over in some other state, and I mean everything's just going haywire, going to hell in a handbasket. You got out, you're in this other state for love, you're in this other state for money, it's not working out. And what if you're a true Texan, just a thought, I want to go back to Texas. Oh, man, just to cross that Red River again, get back home. It's a wonderful thought. Okay, y'all can't relate to Texas? Than just America. You're in some other country. And things are just terrible. I just can't wait to get back home to America. People use the example, well, when I got off that plane, I just got down and kissed the ground. Just to think about America. I'm going home. I'm going to go to America when this is all over. You can almost, if you have this love of America, this love of Texas, you almost feel it in your body. Oh, what that just somehow it takes away all that pain. I'm going to go home to America. I'm going to go home to Texas. It's where I belong. And all this stuff just doesn't matter. I just want to get back where I belong. People, that's what we have, being born from above. This is a wonderful news. You set your mind on above. That's where you're from. That's where you're going to go. You're not from below. You're not from below. Since you're from above, that is not only where you're going to go when you die, but people, it's where you're actually going to live now. I'm going to live in that realm. So, now we're from above. Born from above, Gospel of John chapter 3, born from above, we're going to return above when we die. So what's the great issue? Right now, I'm going to live in reference to where I am from and where I'm going to return. I'm going to live with that mindset in mind. I'm going to live with all my mind set, thinking. Keep on seeking the things above. I'm going to seek those things that are above. Spiritual love. Trusting Him. The hope. The glory of being with Him forever and ever. And the things that will bring glory and pleasing to Him. Set your mind, a mindset, on the things above. On another place where Jesus Christ is, another person. This is how beautiful this is. A child raped, abused, neglected. I know that's tough. But is there nothing that God can do about that? Is that your view of God? If this little boy was raped, I don't care by who it was. This little girl was raped. Is her life over? Is his life over? He's going to bear that scar forever and ever and will never be able to overcome that? Is that your view of God? Then you have a very small God. You have a very small God. See, people, what God has done and the view that I'd like you to have about God is that our God is so big that he can take any of those kind of things that happen to us here below into an inner happiness without any stress or depression. If that child damned the rest of their natural life with that burden, do you believe that? Because that's what we're told. I don't believe that. That child reaches a point, that person, that adult woman, that adult male who are abused and neglected and all these things that hurt us and bring depression, we set our mind on the things above. We like to use excuses for our depression. Well, I'm always going to be upset. I'm always going to be terrible because this happened to me when I was a child, or because I'm married to this person, or because this happened, or because they did that to me. That's an excuse. I'm sorry. I'm not insensitive. I'm sorry, though. That's an excuse. It's a mindset. You've got your mindset. That's happened to me. That's destroyed my life, and that's it. And you're very comfortable in that. You're very comfortable in your misery because you've got it all explained now. Why you'll never be happy. I'm here to tell you that our God is so big, you keep your mind set on the things where you're from, not on the things below. And you will experience the absence of stress, depression, hurt, all these things that we carry. God has set up a system for the freedom from these things, from stress, anxiety, and depression. Just as He has set up a means of our eternal salvation, He has set up a means for you to enjoy life here. Okay, let's move on. We got to rush. Verse 23 in Gospel of John chapter 8. Let's go back to John 8. Verse 23, and He was saying to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. And what I would like you to do as a Christian to say, I'm not of this world either. I am not of this world. And because this has happened in my life, I'm not going to let it ruin my relationship with Christ. I'm not going to let it ruin what I have in Him and where I'm from. I'm not going to let it. I'm going to set my mind on who I really am in Christ. And you're going to experience stress and depression to slowly start drifting away from your life. That's where your mindset is. Verse 24, I said therefore to you, that you will die in your sins, for unless, and the word unless means this is the only solution, the only hope, you believe that I am, you shall die in your sins. Again, important passage in dealing with the context, but I want to move on from that. Here's how to be from above. By the way, it does tell us that. It does tell us how to be from above. How? By faith. By faith. Just believing in Him. One more issue here, unless you believe that I am He. This goes back to verse 21, and which they rejected Him. They would not believe. But people, if you believe that He is, then you're from above. That's all you have to do. It's that simple. People, faith is so simple. There's no merit to man in it. But boy, what God can do with a grain of mustard seed of faith. And I'm telling you that when you hurt. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you've accepted Christ, somewhere in your life, and tonight or today you're experiencing a great distress and hurt and depression, think of what a simple little grain of mustard seed of faith did. It saved you eternally. Think what God can do with a grain of mustard seed today in your life. What God can do if you just put about 60 seconds of that little grain of mustard seed of faith, and then another minute, and then another minute of just trusting Him. Think about what God can do with that kind of faith. Not a whole lot of faith, just a little grain of mustard seed this minute, a grain of mustard seed the next minute. I am who I am in Christ. I am from above. I am not from here. This is not my self-worth. This is not who I am. All these failures, all these sins, how all my friends tell me I'm a loser, I'm no good, I'm inadequate, I'm unworthy. That's not who I am. I am going to dare to believe what Jesus Christ says about me, what God says about me. I'm going to dare to believe that. Verse 30. Let's just go on in our study. What I want to look at in verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. A phrase that is used in almost any and every situation, context, rarely is it used correctly, even by Christians. First of all, that verse is given to believers, not unbelievers. Now, it applies in principle to unbelievers in pattern, but the statement's made to believers. It's made to you if you're a believer in Christ. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And what's the truth? Trust me. What is the truth talked about here? Trust me. Trust the one I send. Trust my Spirit. And you shall be free. Free. Free of what? Free not only of sin and of the law, but people free of a life of stress, anxiety, and depression. See, verse 32 comes after verse 30. Many of them became, many of the Jews believed in him. And then so he tells them. Jesus, therefore, was saying to those who had believed in him. And that word, therefore. See, therefore means because you have now believed in me, there's something I want you to understand, and that's keep on walking in that same truth. Keep on walking in the same truth. Okay, let's move on in our study of our passage so that we can finish this up tonight. But I do want you to realize the truth. What is the truth? If you will abide, I want to deal with that. How do you abide? See, the word abide, in that, you abide in my truth, my word. The word abide is the same thing we have going on up here. Keep seeking the things above and set your mind. The same principle is with abiding. You abide by faith. You abide by continuing to trust him. In the Gospel of John, there are three areas we are to abide. Here, abide in my word. In chapter 15, abide in me. In chapter 15, abide in my love. And they're all fulfilled in the same way. Abiding by faith in the Spirit. This is the truth. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free or make you free. Now, what is the truth? What is the freedom? The truth, again, I am God. I'll do the performing, not you. Trust me. What's the freedom? And I would like you to, take, we're running close to time, but just in your own private time, if you look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, while you're hurting, while you're distressed, just pull out your Bible and open it up to Galatians. Look it up in the table of contents. Find Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, and this is what it says. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. In our study, what's that yoke of slavery? It's the law. The yoke of slavery is Satan's lie that your self-worth is your performance and others' opinion of you. People, that is a burden. Do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. And what's the yoke of slavery? That my self-worth is in my performance and others' opinion of me. How my performance according to the law. You're set free of all of that. And he says there to keep on standing firm. What does that mean? How did you enter? By faith. Keep standing firm there. Then I'd like you to turn to 2 Corinthians 3. Because who you are is Galatians 5:1. Who are you? You are in Christ, and in Christ you are free. Do not experientially set yourself back into slavery of the law, the performance of Satan's lie, and the weakness of the flesh and sin. Stand firm by faith. Chapter 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now that you have believed in Christ as Savior, your Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, liberty. What does that mean? It means freedom, people. Freedom of stress. Freedom of depression. Freedom of anxiety. Freedom to be who you are in Christ. You're free to be that. Now, go back, if you turn, but let's look at the Gospel of John 8, verse 30. And he spoke these things. Many came to believe in him. All those that believed declares himself, all that he declared himself to be. Verse 31, Jesus therefore, since they believed, was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you abide, dwell, live, walk by faith in my word, the truth, that's the gospel, then you will be truly disciples of mine. You shall know the truth. You shall know the truth. People, you do not have to perform. You just have to trust him. He will do the work. He will do it for you. I'd like you to read, when you're hurting, depressed, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. How can I do that? How can I possibly do that? Have your mind set on who you are in Christ. Have your mind set on where you're from. That's above. Let me give you my example again, being content. Do not let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. I was content with a very measly paycheck once a month in the Army. I was content with it. Why? Because my mindset wasn't on money. My mindset wasn't on all the things that I can do in Germany if I have money. My mindset was that I'm a soldier. So this is possible. I think what I'm trying to show you here is it's possible in the physical world. It's even more possible in the spiritual because we have the power of the Holy Spirit. Let your character be free from the love of money, because so much stress and depression comes over money and the fear of money, fear about not having it, insecurity. Being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. And if you're stressed and depressed, people, just get your mind set on him. He will never desert you. He'll never forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. I'll not live in fear. I'll not live in distress and depression. What shall man do to me? See, what's going to do to you? You're not from here, people. You're not from here. You're from above. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. And we're dealing with those things, setting your mind on things above, set your mind on things above, where Christ is. Philippians 3:14, I press onward toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You are not from below, and that's not your self-worth. Your self-worth is who you are in Christ. And we'll close it with James chapter 3, verse 15. I encourage you, if you're under stress and depression, just get your Bibles out and just let the Spirit work through with you. James 3:15. This wisdom of Satan's lie that your self-worth is in your performance plus others' opinion of you. This wisdom referring to what you have, well, that means God loves you. What you don't have, God hates you. All this kind of stuff. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above. That kind of wisdom is earthly, and that's where you're living if you feel that way. Natural to our flesh nature, demonic, Satan's lie. Verse 16, for where jealousy, selfish ambition exists, there is disorder and every evil thing. Disorder, and I'm just going to relate that to your soul. This depression and stress in your soul. Verse 17, but the wisdom from above is first pure. Peaceable. What's peaceable? No stress. No depression, no distress. The wisdom from above is peaceable. It's gentle. The world is not gentle. The world is not gentle. The world is tough. The wisdom from above is gentle. Reasonable. Why is it reasonable? Because you're from above. Live who you are in reference to where you are. Full of mercy. Why is it full of mercy? Because I'm going to tell you something. Those of you that are hurting tonight with stress and depression, it's what you and I need. I need mercy. A lot of Christians, well, they want God to bless them because of how wonderful they are. I want God to bless me because of his love and his mercy. How we want God to deal with us. Full of mercy, because we are going to fail. We are going to sin. It's full of mercy. Good fruits. And I love unwavering. Without hypocrisy. With hypocrisy, without hypocrisy, because no matter what the world says you look like, you are who you are in Christ. That's who you really are, and that's the way God's going to deal with you. He's not going to deal with you according to what you are in the flesh. He's going to deal with you who you are in Christ. So, yes, it is difficult to keep your mind set on him when things are going so bad in your life. Is it possible to keep your mind set on him? I hope that you're beginning to see, yes, it is. I just need to change that whole frame of thinking. That's why I call it AM/FM. I need to switch to FM, because it is possible. If I just get my mind set on where I'm from, who I am in Christ, get rid of all of these earthly analysis of myself, what my parents think, what my husband thinks, what my wife thinks, all this stuff, and just get my mind set on who I am in Christ and where I'm going and where he is, it is possible. The battle is faith. And yes, it's tough. But when you're going along and you bounce out and you're going to the flesh, just go back into faith. Don't even worry about it. Yeah, but no, I don't want to hear about it. Just get back to your faith. You got a merciful God. And you have the Spirit of the living God in you. Just live who you are in Christ. Set your mind there. Let's close in a word of prayer. there are many Christians, Heavenly Father, throughout this country, indeed the world, who this very night are experiencing stress and depression and hurt and sorrow that is damaging to their life. Not a sorrow that is comforting their life, but a sorrow and hurts that are damaging. What kind of God are you? You're not only a God who cares, but you're a God who has supplied the answer. And just as it is with our eternal life and our spiritual recovery from sin, so it is from all of this. The same solution, if we'll just trust you. If we'll just trust what you say we are in Christ, if we just trust in your Spirit, he will give us this peace. He will release us. He will release this body of distress, pressure, hurt, depression. What an awesome God you are, Father. We praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen.